Good morning, everyone. Sorry for the delay. Welcome to Senate Finance. Present at the table are Senators Olson, Hoffman, McKinnon, Dunleavy, Bishop, Michicki, and Kelly. We're going to go through a few amendments on the operating budget, HB 72 and HB 73. What we're going to do this morning is go through a couple of amendments. I think we've got six in our packets. And then we'll go to the floor, and there may be some other amendments offered in this time period too. But the first thing we're going to do is walk through these first six amendments, and James Armstrong is here to do that. James, could I get a motion? Not James, but could I get a motion on amendment number one?
I move amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. James, go ahead.
Amendment number one is a net zero. For the record, James Armstrong, staff, Senator Kelly. It's a net zero UGF amendment. It just deletes an unallocated appropriation within teacher learning support, and those funds are placed into the early learning coordination, the Best Beginnings program. It's $320,000.
Senator Dunleavy, you want to speak to the amendment?
Sure, just briefly. So this $320,000 would be moved into Best Beginnings with the idea that this money would be used for books for those communities that would be difficult to access books for young children.
Okay. I will remove my objection. Is there another objection? If not, amendment number one is passed. Legislative Council, Mr. Armstrong, will you go ahead and walk us through this one? I'll get a motion, please.
I move amendment number two.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Armstrong?
Amendment number two, in the previous fiscal year, there was funds appropriated for Arctic policy work. $65,000 of that was going to lapse. There was a request to reappropriate that money. It's cleaner just to let the funds from 15 lapse and instead of carrying it forward. So this just splits it evenly between the House and the Senate work on the Arctic policy for FY16.
Questions? Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question. I just want to make it known publicly that my husband serves on several boards, and one of them is called Arctic Power. The funds that are included in this, as I understand it, have nothing to do with Arctic Power, but he does serve as a board member on Arctic Power. I don't think any of his other services on any other boards are affected by anything that's before us today, but I just wanted to make sure that that was on the record.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon, for that clarification. Other questions or comments? Senator Dunleavy?
Certainly.
Back on the record, I think we had an objection that has been removed. Are there any other objections? Hearing none, amendment number two is passed. Senator Hoffman, could you move amendment number 3?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 3.
I object for purpose of discussion. Go ahead. Senator Hoffman, do you want Mr. Armstrong to speak to it first, and then you can speak? Okay, go ahead.
In the Senate Subcommittee on Commerce, $3 million was removed from the numbers section. And in the narrative, it requested full finance to amend the language section. The language section appropriates appropriates statutory designated program receipts authority of up to $1.5 million. So if they are able to gather more SDPR, it is a one-for-one match of UGF with a ceiling of $1.5 million.
I will remove my objection. Senator Hoffman, did you want to speak to that?
And primarily this would increase their statutory designated program receipts from $2.7 million to $4.2 million. Okay. That gives them the incentive to raise the money to promote tourism in the state of Alaska.
Without objection, amendment number 3 is passed. Amendment number 4, I'll move amendment number 4. Is there objection? If I could get an objection, then when
I'll object.
Thank you. Mr. Armstrong, would you go ahead and
amendment number 4 is a technical amendment. It was brought to the state of Alaska from Federal Aviation that we were not really specifying clearly enough in the operating budget where certain aviation taxes were being distributed. There's certain guidelines that the federal government requires. Mr. Teal worked in the last few days with Ledge Legal, and they assure me that this is the technical fix that will satisfy Federal Aviation Administration.
Is there continuing objection? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a...
Senator Olson?
I do have a question on this. As you look at some of the issues that are there, it talks about the capital or operating budgets of the airports. What are they primarily going for that we were non-compliant with?
Mr. Armstrong, do we need Mr. Teal
here? I would have Mr. Teal come up, please.
David, if you could help us out here. Take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. There was a question regarding amendment number 4. Senator Olson, could you restate your question for the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I looked at the explanation here, it obviously had to do with the FAA requiring both capital and operating costs at the airport. And I was wondering more specifically what they were looking at. Are you looking at airport improvements? Were you hardening the runway, putting asphalt on the runway, or putting lights on the runway? Or are you looking at people like personnel that are out there maintaining the runway that has to be spent on? Because at some airports, obviously, we've got gravel runways where you don't have maintenance personnel that are state employees. At other airports that are bigger, 139 airports, you've got bigger considerations that are there, and that's where I'm looking at from the personnel standpoint as well.
For the record, I'm David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance, and Senator Olson through the chair. It's not that specific. The federal government wants to assure only that the proceeds from the aviation taxes or fuel taxes are spent on airports. They divide those airports into three different systems. The international airports that are owned by the state, Fairbanks and Anchorage, basically, and then other state-owned airports, which you might just call rural airports, and then there are the muni airports. There are 8 of those. And so by system, they want to track the money. Well, Alaska's never had a problem. We spend far more general funds on airport facilities and operations than we collect from the aviation tax. The feds just want an accounting of that money, so we need to change the way we appropriate so that we can prove to them that we spend the money. The federal requirement is only that it be spent on the airports, whether for operations or facilities, doesn't matter. I don't see any change occurring because of this at all. It's simply to keep up with FAA requirements that we can show the money that was being spent instead of simply saying, well, we spend way more than you require us to spend.
No, Mr. Olson, is that a satisfactory answer? If not, I can hold the amendment.
No further questions.
All right. Without objection, amendment number 4 is passed. David, if you could just stay there. Amendment number 5, I'll move amendment number 5.
Object.
Yeah. Mr. Armstrong?
Amendment number 5 is just to go back a little bit. Last year when the legislature passed Senate Bill 138, in the fiscal note there was $8,986,700 of a one-time item for DNR's efforts for the commercialization of North Slope gas. In the when the December 15th budget came out, then that administration added some $4.2 million as an increment. The DNR subcommittee reduce that $4.2 million by $1.9 million, and this amendment further reduces the increment, and it just provides FY15 funding and redesignates the commercialization efforts as a one-time item.
Why this bit of money came to our attention was that it, as Mr. Armstrong said, it started off as one-time money. It went from one-time money to base money. It went from base money at the same amount to an additional $4 million. So we'll take it back to the $8 million, the original $8.9 million, and Mr. Armstrong, that is, yeah, it's UGF. That's and back to one-time funds. Now this is conferenceable, so we'll have time to discuss this between now and the time session ends. Are there questions? Hearing none, amendment number 5 is passed. Amendment number 6, I'll move amendment number 6.
Object.
Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number 6, in the supplemental, the Spill Prevention and Response Fund is having a shortage of their normal oil and hazardous gas funding. They need about an additional $800,000 this year in the supplemental request. So in talking to the department, in anticipation, if they didn't get the money, they're holding about a 22% vacancy factor within SPAR. There's some pending legislation in both bodies that are dealing with the SPAR issue. This would just remove $150,000 of excess authority for next year in case they don't get all of their positions hired if the legislation passes and fixes it, or we have to deal with the situation next year.
Okay. Any questions? Amendment number 6 is passed. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record, amendment number 7. I'm going to go ahead and move amendment number 7. Mr. Teal, could you walk us through what this amendment does? Give us a little bit of a history lesson on how we achieve what we want. Mr. Armstrong?
I'll walk through it, and if I'm, Mr. Teal can correct me if I'm wrong. Amendment number 7, if you look at lines 4 and through 7, this amendment simply rejects the monetary terms of the contracts listed 1 through 14, and it rejects those monetary terms in House Bill 72 and the mental health budget, House Bill 73, for the fiscal year starting July 1st, 2015.
Mr. Teal, do you have some comments on this? Just kind of give us a little history lesson on how we achieve what we're trying to achieve here and what's necessary, what's not necessary.
Mr. Chairman, there is some backup available to this, but I think that the transaction report was over 60 pages, so it seemed like too much to attach to this. There is a summary that gives the agency impacts by fund code.
Okay.
That you may want to see after the action is taken. Those will be posted online for anyone that wants to see them.
The legislature has to approve, ratify the contracts, and if we don't fund them, and if we have specific language in the budget not to fund them, then the agencies don't have to pay those contracts. As a matter of fact, they're required not to pay those contracts, the raises in those contracts. This doesn't give us money towards our goal, but it allows us not to spend the $30 million in GF that we would have to spend if we took and accepted this 2.5% increase. The total funds that will be saved are somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
We had Amanda Ryder from Ledge Finance run the reports because some further collective bargaining units have come around in the last 2 weeks. So total funding with this language, amendment number 7 is adopted, is $54,705,100.
Do we have a total GF?
Total unrestricted general funds is $28,807,000. Designated general funds is $12,793,000. Other state funds, $8,327,000. And federal receipts is $4,776,000.
It is our anticipation that we can save about 300 layoffs in the future with this. There's no guarantees on that because the managers are going to manage their divisions and their departments. But we can at least allow them to not pay these raises where they could pay the people that they currently have. So I think for this committee's benefit, and so that you know, this is an action to save jobs. It's going to save us money as well, but we want to save jobs because as long as we can do that, we should do it. Senator Machicki?
Just, Mr. Chairman, in a nutshell, essentially what we're doing is we're denying the last year of the contract's
right.
Increase. When we first talked about opening the denying the contracts, it sounds more extreme than that. But what we're actually doing is denying.
Well, it's not exactly the last contracts because they're staggered. So it's this year the 16 contracts.
Thank you.
Did you want to raise? I'm going to go brief you these until Senator Machicki returns. Okay, we're ready. Back on the record, David, would you re-explain what Amendment 7 and 7B does?
Mr. Chairman, Amendment 7 removes the monetary terms approval from both the operating bill and the mental health bill. As it says in Section 27, the terms are rejected, and that would, in theory, send the bargaining units back to the table to renegotiate. Now, 7B is what actually removes the money from the budget. It reverses all the salary adjustments associated with these contracts and all the money associated with non-covered employees' raises. So there's backup attached to 7B, which tells you by fund code the amounts of money affected. There's also a summary sheet that tells you the amount of money by agency. As I noted earlier, the individual transactions will be posted on the website. It's a 66-page report that you probably didn't need to duplicate and attach to the amendments. So I think the only question may be why only the bargaining units are addressed in Amendment 7, but Amendment 7B removes money for both the covered units and for the non-covered employees.
And we anticipate a piece of legislation for that, because it requires legislation.
That requires legislation.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Teal, or whoever, just so I'm clear, and people also that are watching are clear, what does this effect have on salaries that are non-covered positions, such as the executive branch, the legislative branch, especially now that we've got 7B out there, and you say it does address that?
7B addresses non-coverage, you're correct. It would, a piece of separate legislation that would repeal the 16 increases would need to be introduced and passed in this legislative session.
That legislation would have a zero fiscal note because of what we just did, or if this passes and survives. Mr. Teal.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. There would be a zero fiscal note on that bill. I might also add here that because of some of the amendments that you just passed, for instance, the gas commercialization, where money is removed from the budget, these salary adjustments apply to the budget as it came in. It's possible that we're now removing money by removing these salary adjustment transactions where no money exists. We really can't fix that until we're near the end of the process. That should be covered by the typical motion that alleged finance and legal can make conforming and technical adjustments.
And just for clarification, we don't need to make those technical clarifications on Amendment 7B. That will be on HB 72 and 73 as they come out of this committee, correct?
We will make them as we put the bill together. If an allocation or a fund code goes negative in an allocation, we would say, with your approval or with your motion, that we have the ability to not reduce a salary where there's no money, there's no people there, there was a, for instance, a structure change, that allocation no longer exists. There are a number of reasons that the list backup may need change. The changes would be relatively small.
Okay. Senator Machicki?
Just to clarify for me, so technically 7A allows the administration and state workers to open the discussion. 7B proves that it's not focused on collective bargaining folks. It's across the board. But essentially what it does is it mechanically provides a wage freeze for FY16. Is that an easy way to describe?
Senator Machicki, I lost a word there. Could you repeat that last sentence? 7B?
I said that 7B essentially
improves
that it's not focused on collective bargaining employees. It's a wage freeze across the board for FY16.
The allocations represent that. The language is specifically for the contracts and the allocations. I'm getting David. Mr. Teal is saying yes. Mr. Armstrong is saying no.
That's normal. The language refers only to collective bargaining agreements. That's all we can do in the operating bill. The money that's coming out is for both covered and non-covered. But in the operating bill, we cannot change the salary schedule, and there is no agreement for the non-covered. So that would require separate legislation, which my understanding is forthcoming.
So the quick answer is the language section changes the contract language, denies the contracts. The allocations envision a reduction for both covereds and non-covereds, correct?
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Would you say yes, David, if
Mr.
that's true?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay.
It would leave all salaries for covered and non-covered at their FY15 levels.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick follow-up.
Go Go ahead.
Message is, these are tough times. We care very much about state employees. We're just trying to preserve as many jobs as possible, and this reduces the cost in FY16 going forward. Is that a simple way to describe it?
A simple way to describe it is, if we don't pay the raises, then layoffs are less likely.
Thank you.
So, technically, do we have to move 7B, or we do have to move? Okay. So we have 7A. There was an objection. Is that objection removed? I made the objection. I remove my objection for 7A.
If I made one.
7A is then passed. 7B is before us. Is there objection to 7B?
I move amendment 7B.
Thank you. Is there objection to 7B? Hearing none, I think you've given us our explanation for 7B. 7B is... 7B is passed. We are going to recess. We have a number of things to do, and we'll be back this afternoon. It'll be the same meeting. We're not going to adjourn. We'll be back after a recess. And James, is that going to be 1:30, or is it call the chair?
We 1:30 is typically when we meet, and we have.
So 1:30, I would say that there may be some delays, but we are recessed unless there is further business to come to the table. Hearing none, we're recessed. Back from recess. We're going to finish up these amendments. Senator Olson, we're going to wait. Let me stand by. We'll wait for Senator Olson. Full compliment here today, as we did this morning. Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator McKinnon, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Michicki, and myself, Senator Kelly. We're going to rip through these amendments as quickly as prudent. And we will begin with amendment number 8. Can I get a motion to move amendment number 8?
Amendment number 8.
Senator this is the one that removes $1.8 million from the university, just the branch-wide, and puts it in the higher education. No, not in the higher. It goes in the general fund, right? Yeah. To fund the broadband that was removed in subcommittee, the broadband money. Go ahead, James.
There's $1.8 million from the University of Alaska, budget reductions, additions system-wide. And those funds are placed in library operations for the broadband of 1.8 of unrestricted general funds, and it also captures 1.8 of higher education investment fund for total funding of $3.6 million.
Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number 8? Hearing none, amendment number 8 is adopted. Amendment number 9.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment.
Yes.
I want to thank the committee for going and adopting this for the students out in rural Alaska.
Noted, Senator Olson. Thank you for that comment. Senator Hoffman, Machicki, and Olson are sponsors of amendment number 9. Could I get a motion for amendment number 9?
I move amendment number 9.
Are there objections? All objects for purposes of discussion, Mr. Armstrong.
This amendment restores $1.336 to public radio and $333,000 to public broadcast TV. And $879,500 to satellite infrastructure.
Mr. Armstrong, if you just read the explanation at the bottom, I think it gives a very fair explanation of what
they
did.
Okay. Explanation. This amendment will restore $1,336,000 to public broadcasting radio and $333,300 to public broadcasting TV and $879,500 to satellite infrastructure. In discussions with the Department of Administration, this is the recommended level where urban areas would absorb the full reduction, while there would be no further reduction to the rural stations, which would remain at their full funding level submitted by the governor. The restoration of the full $879,500 for satellite infrastructure will enable those services such as ARCS, emergency broadcasting and transponder availability for the university to continue without a funding reduction.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see my name was inadvertently omitted as a sponsor, and I'd like that to be reflected as an addition.
The records show that Senator Bishop is one of the sponsors of that amendment. Are there objections to adopting amendment number 9? Amendment number 10.
Nine.
You're right. Number 9. Hearing none, amendment number 9 is adopted. Amendment number 10. Senator Olson.
Brief it easy, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I withdraw amendment number 10.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Amendment number 11, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 11.
I object. Senator Olson.
Amendment number 11 allows the, in my district where you've got a fair amount of people that have been arrested for crimes that are out there, they don't have the ability to go in and hire any kind of defense attorney or anything like that, and they're dependent on the Public Defender's Agency, which in the past number of years has had an increasing amount of numbers of cases that are out there with less and less resources. What this does is allows the $1.2 million to be added into the Public Defender's Agency. A cut of $1.2 million will mean that certainly the attorney caseload will exceed many of the recommendations and guidelines that the American Bar Association does. Appeals will not be filed within the court-imposed deadlines, and fines would be assessed by the courts for not meeting these deadlines. As caseloads increase, the following will more likely happen. Attorneys won't be able to meet with clients as often or in a timely manner. Retrials will be done more likely because of the ineffective counsel and increased risk of innocent people being convicted at trial. It's anticipated that providing this service at this reduced budget will increase overall case processing costs by increasing pretrial delay, periods of pretrial incarceration, inmate transportation costs, and conflicts of interest. This will increase the cost for court system to the Department of Law, the Department of Public Safety, and Department of Corrections. Any changes that the Department of Law implements to reduce workloads across the state will not be realized by the defense agencies in FY16. There will certainly be a delay in the benefits due to the time it takes to implement and any changes in process new cases under these reforms, as well as the cost of processing existing caseloads. Moreover, any projected impact on workloads is merely speculative. And because of that, it's mandated by the state constitution that the Public Defender's Agency be in place, and the right, every right to a lawyer to, in criminal cases and appeals is required. So with that, I ask for your support.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Just the comment that I was going to make is that I don't doubt many of the claims that you just made. I am reluctant to accept this amendment at this time. We're trying to meet certain goals, but this is conferenceable. And because it is not the end of the line, I'm going to go ahead and vote against this. Senator Dunleavy, did you have a comment? Hearing none. Any other comments? Are you going to call the roll? Okay. Amendment number 11.
No.
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 Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator
Rockin?
No.
Senator
Olson?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
No. Amendment number 11 has failed. Senator Olson, amendment number 12?
I move amendment number 12, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman.
Object. Go ahead.
Amendment number 12 is for the Office of Public Advocacy. Most of the work in the Office of Public Advocacy is mandated by the Alaska State Constitution. OPA is a downstream agency and has no control over the cases assigned to it. Here's the information on the Office of Public Advocacy, which has to deal mainly with civil situations, civil lawsuits. The OPA public guardians have the highest caseloads in the country. Public guardians are tasked with making major life decisions for adult wards of the state of Alaska. Current public guardian caseloads are 2 to 3 times the nationally recommended maximums. In practical terms, this means that each ward gets approximately 1.5 hours per month of public guardian time. The current situation poses a threat to the health and safety of some of Alaska's most vulnerable citizens. The OPA guardian ad litem, GALs, are tasked with representing the best interests of those that are abused and neglected children across the state of Alaska. The guardians ad litem staff caseloads now exceed 100 children per GAL. By comparison, Colorado's maximum in the caseload of 30 children per GAL, less than one-third of the Alaska's current GAL caseloads. The caseload for FY15 has risen approximately 40% over FY14, and the Attorney General's Office predicts this will continue due to increased filings by the Office of Children's Services. OPA's elder fraud and court-appointed special advocate programs, which advocate for victims of abuse, may be reduced or eliminated since these programs are not required by law. With that, I ask your support for this $1.2 million to go to the Office of Public Advocacy.
I'm going to maintain my objection for the same reason as I objected to number 11. Briefings. back on the record. Go ahead and call the roll. If the objection is maintained, it is.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I'd like to just make sure that the people that are watching are aware, because they did actually make a mistake in on the amount of requests, and that's for $425,100 to be going to the Office of Public Advocacy as opposed to, I think I said $1.2 million.
Oh, okay.
So it's $425,000 for the OPA office.
Call the roll.
Senator
Olson? Yes.
Senator Kelly?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Rich?
No.
Senator Finn?
No.
With that, Amendment number 12 fails. Amendment number 13, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I withdraw Amendment number 13 since number 8 is passed.
Senator Olson. Amendment number 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 14.
Object.
There's objection. Go ahead, Senator Olson.
Amendment number 14 has to do with putting $1.9 million of general funds into the Department of Education and Early Development, which is mainly pointed toward restoring the pre-kindergarten grants to the level proposed by the governor's amended budget request. Obviously, teaching children, especially younger children, has the effect of being able to go ahead and make sure that as they get into grade school, and especially as they get into college, they have less remediation because they're able to keep up. Most parents, and I'm one of those that has children that are pre-kindergarten age, are certainly dependent on this to try and make sure that our children, the next generation, have the ability to go ahead and become leaders, become people that are interested in not just education, but in furthering the state of Alaska by becoming educated. And so with that, I ask for your support for this this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Is the objection maintained? Yes, it is. Call the roll, please.
Senator Cheeky?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Kelly?
No. With that, amendment number 14 has failed. Amendment number 15, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 15.
Object.
There's objection, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What Amendment number 15 does is it allows the addition of $557,500 of general funds into the Best Beginnings Program, as well as $287,500 of general funds into the Parents as Teachers Program. This goes to the Department of Education and Early Development, specifically for teaching and learning support. And what it does specifically allows these two programs, which have been very effective in the recent past, especially out in rural Alaska, Best Beginnings has been influential in allowing books to come to younger students that are out there. And with that, its effectiveness has been unquestionable. With that, I ask support for Amendment 15.
Senator Dunleavy, do you have some comments on that? I think we had an amendment earlier.
Yeah, we did have an amendment earlier that restores partial funding to Best Beginnings. And the focus of that funding should be on the rural communities where you have young children that don't have access to libraries or urban areas where they can pick up books. So there is money been shifted in that direction.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. The objection is maintained, I assume. Call the roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Cheeky?
No.
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator
Dunleavy?
No.
Senator
McKinnon?
No.
One yay,
6 nays. With that, Amendment number 15 has failed. Amendment number 16, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment number 16.
Objection. There's objection, Senator Olson.
Amendment 16 has an addition of $1.75 million of unrestricted general funds into the Department of Transportation Public Facilities, specifically the Alaska Marine Highway System. Here we have This amendment restores the $1.75 million of general funds to the Alaska Marine Highway System, whose users pay almost one-third of the cost of operations. Far from the governor's request level, this restores only the Alaska Marine Highway System service levels to those in the that the House cut. Without these funds, the system will need to rebook or cancel 8,000 passengers and 2,000 vehicles whose fares have already been paid. With that, I ask for support for amendment number 16.
Thank you, Senator Olson. The objection is maintained. Please call the roll.
No.
Senator
Machiti?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Kelly?
No.
1 yea, 6 nays.
I'm going to go ahead and hold 17 and 18 for tomorrow. Which brings us to 19. Senator Hoffman?
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw amendment number 19.
Senator Hoffman, thank you. Amendment number 19 is withdrawn. Amendment number 20, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon, could you pause just a second? Senator Machiki?
Could you just clarify that amendment number 16 failed for the record?
Oh, thank you. Amendment number 16 failed.
Failed.
Okay. So, back to amendment number 20, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 20.
For purposes of discussion, I'll object.
Mr. Chairman, currently we collect, actually, currently we project income coming in from the cruise ship head tax, and then we allow municipalities to go spend that money, and that collection has not always lined up. This year we wound up with a deficit in that account because the cruise ship passengers that came in were less than what we had projected. I think that we need to take a year off, or at least some time off, to figure out what's going on with this program, and so I offer amendment number 20, which would hold in the state of Alaska anything we collect this year and make it available next year. At least that would be the thought process behind it for those communities who are accessing those funds. And I'm certainly open to negotiations as this moves forward.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. I'm going to withdraw my objection. Are there other objections? Hearing none, amendment number 20 is passed. Take a brief at ease. Back on the record, I move amendment number 21.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Armstrong?
Amendment number 21 was brought to us by the Office of Management and Budget for consideration. I can read what the explanation and the conditional language. It says, at the discretion of the Commissioner of Administration and to accomplish the mission intent of the statewide five-year information technology plan, a new cost-neutral appropriation will be created within the Department of Administration for purpose of consolidating information technology procurement, information technology support, and information technology contractual services that are currently being performed by the executive branch agencies. The OMB director shall authorize the transfer of funding associated with these services.
Do we have someone from the department to speak to this? I guess not. That's all right. I'm fine with this amendment. Any other
objections?
Okay. With that, amendment number 21 is passed. Amendment number 22.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Armstrong?
This will, number 22 allows the Insurance Operations Division contained within Commerce and Economic Community and Economic Development to receive supported services for the industry for two permanent full-time positions, an insurance specialist number one and an insurance financial examiner number two. So it just restores a reduction that was made previously.
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Amendment number 22 is passed. Amendment number 23, Mr. Armstrong, I move amendment number 23.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Armstrong.
In the subcommittee for the Department of Natural Resources closed, this was brought forth by a committee member due to the lateness of the closeouts and just kind of the closeout week rush. They were going to add this in the subcommittee. It adds one division operational manager for the geological and geophysical surveys. And I think the subcommittee chair for DNR can speak to it as well.
Senator Bishop, I believe we talked and I believe you supported this. It's kind of a late recommendation from the subcommittee. Is that correct characterization?
That's accurate. That puts the operations manager back into DGDS. And I don't have my exact notes here, but it is a very important position. And also this position goes out and leverages other federal dollars that could come into the department. It's one of those vital positions. And I will say that DNR did take a 45-person, real person cut to the budget. So I support it.
Is there continuing objection? Hearing none, amendment number 23 is passed.
Do we have a brief at ease?
Yes, we can. Brief at ease. Back on the record, actually that was it for the amendments today. We'll take up 17 and 18 tomorrow as well as a couple of other amendments. There may be a few conforming amendments here and there before we pass the budget out tomorrow. But let's be here at 9 o'clock-ish tomorrow because at this time of the year it's often difficult to start a committee anywhere near its beginning. But we're scheduled for 9 o'clock and we'll go through the remaining amendments and discuss the bill as it parts our committee.
back on the record. Though we will amend this budget further tomorrow, this is, though we tend to move quickly when we finally do get going, and we try to always have fun while we're moving along. This isn't easy, is not an easy process. These are big cuts, and the state is in trouble right now. And it is represented by a number, $4 billion, $3.5 billion. It ranges in there depending on what you think the price of oil is going to be. And we have got to do something about the size of government, which simply got too big for our input. And that's what we're doing here, and we'll do a little bit more of it tomorrow. And I think that the case that we have been trying to make in individual conversations and occasionally with the press that we've been making throughout this 90-day session, that you'll hear a lot more about that case on the floor when it reaches there Friday, Saturday, Monday, when it's discussed further. So with that, if there's no more business to come to the committee, we will see you in the morning.